that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning to the remnant. I want to welcome you here this Saturday morning, 8-8-2020. Boy, if you could run those numbers, I'm sure you'd find something going on there. But it is August 8th. Saturday morning, we welcome you, the remnant, and Paul, thank you for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Jonathan,
my pleasure.
Amen. Thank you for joining us. Always like to hear from Paul. And John, good morning to you too, sir.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant. Thank you for getting up this out here at the Radio Ranch. It's a beautiful morning. Just enough clouds this morning to give it a good red shaded sunrise, and the grass is green. Finally, we're getting some hay cut, and as the neighbors are as well. It's that time of the year, and it's a beautiful time of the year. It is. It's the weather's good, and we're certainly thankful for that. And we'll have the phone lines open this morning, Remnant, if you'd like to call in, if you have a question or a comment, but as we try to recommend to you, we're going to open up in prayer. That is what we should do, whether it's a program or a trip or whatever. So, John, we'll look to you for that, sir.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly but boldly claiming the promises that you've given us as the sons of God. We thank you for this time that you set aside for us to come together to encourage one another to love and good deeds, just as your word says. We thank you for all of our blessings, but we also thank you for our trials and tribulations and testing that we're going through right now, that your word says refine us into the men and women that you want us to be to serve in your kingdom. Father, we continue to pray that the things that were done in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. We continue to pray that you would send confusion into the camp of the enemy, that they would turn upon one another and devour one another. And we continue to pray for righteous judgment. We thank you for the answer to the prayer regarding the Bundy family there in Nevada and how that has finally been dismissed after so many years. And Father, we pray for restitution there. We pray for righteous judgment with regards to those perpetrators who made that family's life a living hell. Father, your word says that we're to pray for grace and mercy and compassion in your wrath, and that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. And we do, Lord. We cry out and appeal to heaven for you to save America again. Father, we ask that you would grant us wisdom, understanding, and discernment as the patriarchs of our households, that we would hear you, the Lord, and when we do, that we would be obedient. We pray that we can reach those that can come to repentance while there is still yet time. But those that roam like roaring lions, seeking someone to devour, that come only to steal, kill, and destroy, that no longer hide, that they serve the god of this world, Satan. Father, we want them off the land or under it, as our pastor used to say. We just pray for wisdom with regards to what's important for your people, the remnant, to understand in these times. We pray a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield of light around those that are yours. Put angels above us, below us, left to the right, front and behind us as we, whether we're traveling or whether we're just at home anymore, because evil knows that its time is limited. Father, send your ministering angels ahead of us to prepare those people's hearts, minds, and souls that we can reach while there's still yet time. Send your guardian angels to protect those that are yours, and send your warring angels to battle Leviathan in the high places. We praise you, and we love you, and give all the praise to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It is certainly interesting times that we are living in, for sure. For sure. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open. If you've listened in before, you know how it works. We've certainly got some topics and plenty to talk about here, but it is an interactive program. So if you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, our number is 307-745-5913. And I saw this report. I thought I'd just kind of touch base on it this morning. From ChristianNews.net, and says a survey shows Christians' desire for pastors to address hard topics like abortion, homosexuality, and persecution from the pulpit. And it was a survey by the D. James Kennedy Ministry and sent to their supporters. And the numbers, I won't go into all the numbers, but they were overwhelmingly... Now, again, this is, you know, so-called Christians that they're surveying, for sure. But saying that, yes, you do need pastors. You do need to address these things that are impacting us on a daily basis. The sin that's in the land. And, you know, it doesn't... it's different than what we see in the Judeo-Christian world. And it's not that the pastors are to preach what the people want, but I didn't think that applied here. I think that it's the people seeing what needs to be addressed. In Ezra 10, it talks about that when the people were, they realized that they had done wrong, that they had been, as it says in Ezra 10, unfaithful to God, and so they come and they go to Ezra. The people gather together. And they confess their sins, and they go into Ezra. In Ezra 10, verse 4, it says, "Arise," and they're talking to Ezra, "for this matter is your responsibility." And they're saying that to Ezra. "But we will be with you. Be courageous and act." And so there's many ways, I think, that the Lord works. There's many ways that the Holy Spirit moves throughout the land. And I think that's one of them, that at least... you know, with this ministry that they're talking about here, that that the people are saying, yeah, you should talk about, you know, the poverty in the land. You should talk about politics and the atrocities that's going on there and sin. So that was, you know, including Islam was one of the things in there that, so maybe that'll wake a few of the, maybe the lukewarms up to let them see that, hey, they're, we, you know, the, if you call yourself a pastor, if you call yourself a biblical teacher, you need to be addressing these tough issues. John 3:16 is in the Bible. It certainly is. And thank God that it is. But that's not the only scripture that's in there. Anyway, just thought I'd lead off with that this morning. And it kind of caught my attention. You know, I mean, it's nothing new for us because... If you've listened to this ministry more than 15 minutes, you kind of have heard that very thing. But there's some people that want to hear that. There is. That truth resonates with.
Amen.
Well, Paul, sure glad you joined us this morning. I you know, it's kind of summertime. I guess some stuff's being harvested. I know hay's being cut, sometimes second cutting, and boy, the farmers markets are in full swing out here, at least out in Laramie. It seems like that they're somewhat subdued in other places, but how are you seeing things on the agricultural side right now?
Well, you know, I really don't know. You know, farmers farm. They don't have heart for the future. That's evident because they just don't know what's coming. But they go on. They're just that kind of people. But what's interesting is this spring, the garden centers could not keep plants in their gardens. They sold out all the time. You know, I get this magazine out of New York, and they just had an article on it on how they could not keep anything in their greenhouses, because people are coming to buy it. People have never bought a plant before in their life are buying it. See, I think that's the Spirit of God moving, because, like you said, down deep, we know we need a spanking nationally. We know we're sinning. We know things ain't right, but it's been just too good and too easy. And it, just like us, you know, when Pastor Peter was preaching, we didn't have to be so strong. Now we have. Now it's in our lap. We have to stand up and be our own people. It's interesting time, to say the least. But I think what's really going on, I was thinking about this yesterday, Babylon's struggling to stay alive, and that's what's going on. They are giving money away. Interest rates are about zero. They're just trying everything in their power to keep this thing going, and they're fighting for the life, too. We got to remember that. And you can't blame them, because that's what they live on. It always makes them happy and stuff like that. But, you know, it's a repulsive to God, you know. To have a clean economy, you've got to unload debt every 7 years, and then things are extremely prosperous. But this, we're just dragging, but what are we dragging, 50, 100 years of debt? You know, it's taking us down. So that's what I think is going, because, you know, Babylon's trying to survive, too. You can't blame them. I'm happy to see it go. It's exciting, you know, and I can't say that if I backed up to last year where it's a little easier to get around, can't go anywhere without a mask or nothing like that. It would be easier, but it certainly wouldn't be better. So we are entering the Red Sea, and let's not grumble.
Yeah, about the three businesses that are booming are the garden shops, like you said. I was talking to someone I know that owns one, and they said it's just been, they can't keep product in stock, and liquor stores and the weed depositories, at least here in Colorado, are the three things that are booming. Sadly, a lot of restaurants have thrown in the towel. I think they're saying now like 60% of the restaurants throughout the country are not going to reopen. So, but like you said, you can see Babylon scratching to survive. I mean, they're talking about now suspending all federal income tax on your paycheck, basically, till the end of the year. And like you said, the interest rates continue to drop. Gold and silver sure seems to be rising rather rapidly.
Yes.
I think the last I saw, gold was over $2,000 an ounce, and I think silver is approaching $30 an ounce. But yeah, they definitely are interesting times. I don't know. I saw. I don't know if you saw, but President Trump went to Ohio to the Whirlpool factory, and he did about a 45-minute speech, and basically was telling the people there about all the things that he's done, because the mainstream media don't do, you know, they don't tell you anything. But I thought one of the interesting things that he had just recently done was the Tennessee Power Authority. Apparently the board is federal, and they had decided that they were going to shed 20% of their workforce and bring in the basically the India tech people to H-1B visas. And I guess a week or so ago, President Trump had told them that they needed to rethink that plan. And they pretty much just said, no, this is what we're going to do. There's nothing you can do about it or something. And he fired two of the top executives from Tennessee. Yeah. And he said, let that be a lesson to anyone who's in the federal government. If when you put the American workers, you know, if you don't put the American workers first, I have two words for you. You're fired.
Yeah. You know, and the president's had to do that with several different entities. You know, he did that with the Navy last year. The Navy had because a lot of the armed forces, the people that had moved their way up into the very top positions, we have to remember, they came in through the 8 years of Obama, and they moved their way up during that. And there were several there in the armed forces that, you know, we've seen some of the idiots in the colonels and generals in the military that have either retired or have left, and saw that very specifically in the Navy. You know, President Trump got involved in some unfair judgments against like some Navy SEALs, and the president told the head of the Navy, you know, when the president exonerates someone, that means they're exonerated. It's just how it is, whether you like it or not. And he did that to some Navy men, and the head of the Navy retaliated, and that's what the president told him: you're fired. And he cleaned house, but that's what's needed. That's that change. It was mentioned earlier. You said it, Paul, that, you know, even if we didn't have to wear masks everywhere, things wouldn't be better. They wouldn't. It's this Babylon is dying, and these parts of Babylon are being pointed out. Well, guys, the phone's ringing. Let's take a call this morning. Good morning, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard, John, and Paul. This is Ken in Wisconsin.
Good morning, Ken.
And I just wanted to bring some joy to your heart this morning, as it did to mine. I have one little short paragraph to read you, and that'll make your day. This came on Breitbart News this morning. Listen to this. Christian worshipers outsmarted Pennsylvania's fascist Democratic governor by gathering to praise God inside a Walmart, which, unlike a church, has been deemed essential. Amen.
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 And the video was, the one who took the video was a Walmart worker who filmed it and joined the singing. It was really just fantastic. I'll let you guys go. You got a lot of subjects to talk about, and I'd rather listen than talk, but I had to give you that one this morning. God bless.
Thanks, thank kid. Amen. How about that? How about that? Yep, got to like that.
Yeah, the other thing go ahead.
What brings to my mind that when the Saxon begins to hate, you see, that's what we're doing. We're getting put in the corner, and people are coming out. And you know, I'm that way. I take it for a long time, but when I've had it, I've had it. you know, but I can put up with it for just a long time. But that's just my nature. I don't go looking for a fight, but sometimes you just push me so far, and that's it. So, and that's the Saxon's nature. We put up with this crap for so many years because, well, we think we're nice to them, they're nice to us. That's a about the biggest lie in the world. So, yeah, we're getting put in the corner. We're going to have to fight for our life, too.
Amen.
Yeah. Pastor Peter's taught us about that. Work nice. Don't want to be a fool. You can be kind, but don't be nice. But anyways, the right. other thing, there was a couple cryptic things in that speech that President Trump did at Whirlpool there in Ohio, and he also said that he's taken down the pharmaceutical industry, basically. And he said, there's a lot of very, very wealthy people that aren't happy with me right now. And basically, he's exposed the fact that the pharmaceutical companies here sell a pill to Canada or to other countries for 10 cents. But we have all of these middlemen, he called them, here in the United States, that 10-cent pill is $2, you know, or $200 or whatever it is. And he said that's going to end. And, you know, I mean, obviously we're against the pharmaceutical witchcraft, but he did say something that was somewhat concerning, and a lot of people have stepped up their prayers based on what he said. And he said that you're not going to see me for a while. So it was pretty cryptic, and nobody really, I don't think anybody knows exactly what that meant. But anyways, we need to continue to pray for our president.
Amen. We do. We do. And you know, folks, whether you agree with him or not, our president, the Bible tells us to do that, to pray for our leaders so that you may lead a quiet and tranquil life. And we miss that many times. You know, it falls right in with the theme of the word, you know, forgive others so that you may be forgiven. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And the word tells us to pray for our leaders, for kings and those in authority, so that you, remnant, may lead a quiet and tranquil life. And see, there's that benefit for you. It's like in James when it says to pray for one another so that you may be healed. And again, that recurring theme is if you want as quiet and tranquil a life as is available today, then you have to follow the instructions to get that. And one of them is to pray for your leaders. And, you know, probably shame on us for not seeing that earlier, for not talking about that earlier, for not pushing and promoting that earlier. Because we know that our God hears and answers our prayers. And we're told to do that. So.
Yeah, the one thing you can see going on as well is the enemy's pulled out all the stops, and you know, the parable of the wheat and the tares, we've talked about this many a time, but each week it's almost becomes more pronounced. Just this week, I don't know if you saw these headlines, but it sure caught my eye. You know, over the last couple of years, the Satanic Temple and those that worship Satan have identified themselves with the abortionists and Planned Parenthood and stuff, but now they've taken it one step further. It says, Satanic Temple claims killing babies in abortions is a protected religious ceremony. The Satanic Temple admitted proudly Wednesday that in their belief system, killing an unborn baby in an abortion is a religious ritual similar to communion or baptism for Christians. The Satanic Temple is proud to announce its religious abortion ritual, a ceremony rooted in our deeply held beliefs, a group said in a video announcement on YouTube. Thyself is thy master. And then they said, Hail Satan. Anyways, it's they're saying that many states have laws that interfere with our members' ability to practice their religious beliefs. No Christian would accept a mandatory waiting period before they can partake in communion, and no Christian would tolerate a law that insists state counseling is necessary before someone can be baptized. Our members are justly entitled to religious liberty in order to practice their rituals as well. And I mean, we've seen that inside of these abortion clinics. There was a Satanist who came out and exposed all this stuff a few years ago. I think I brought some of it to the ministry. But the bottom line is, inside of those abortion clinics, they have these satanic ceremonies. And let's see, I'm trying to see what it says here. Anyways, they basically say, if you want your spell or incantation to be powerful, then you have to sacrifice a life. And no, there's no greater sacrifice than an unborn or an unborn child, and that's what their you know, that's their religion. Just like we said, we get power from our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through prayer and praise and worship and fasting, and they get power from their God, the God of this world, Satan, through pain, suffering, and death.
Well,
it's
Molech,
interesting when you tell, you know, when you talk to people like that, and at first they think you're crazy, but then they start thinking about it. You know, you just tell them, I said, you want to cut them off from their power, you stop abortion, and they got nothing. And,
that's right.
They start to think about that, and then you start to show them that it's no different than Moloch, except for now they have us as Christians sacrificing our children to their gods.
Yes. And that Moloch worship was public worship back in the day, back in the Bible times. It was public worship. It wasn't hidden. It wasn't hidden. And that's what they attempt to do today, is to bring it into the mainstream and to have it where there is no doubt. You know, the Bible is right there. In 1 Samuel, when Saul comes up against the Ammonites, you know, the Ammonite comes in, and the people said, make a covenant with us and we'll serve you. And the evil, wicked Ammonites come in and say, we'll make it with you on this condition, that we will gouge out the right eye of every one of you. Thus we will make it a reproach on all Israel. And that's where we're at again today. That's just what they're doing. They're making a reproach for us to live peacefully with these ungodly, antichrist creatures of instinct that were created to be destroyed, that have no knowledge of God other than to be in rebellion to Him. There is no peaceful coexistence. There is not. And God move as we pray that He moves as He did in, you know, on Saul. Verse 6 says of 1 Samuel 11, then the Spirit of God came upon Saul mightily when he heard these words, and he became very angry. And he rallied the people and had to threaten them, because that's what it took to wake the people up out of the spell, to get them up out of their sleep sheep sense. And but it worked. It worked. I pray it works again today. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open. 307-745-5913. See, Sturgis, South Dakota is full bore. The big motorcycle rally, I think, started this weekend. And I'm not going to say what they reported on their thoughts about the coronavirus as it related to the Sturgis rally. But you can imagine what the 250,000 estimated bikers that were going to come into Sturgis this weekend thought about it. And they said, no, we're going full bore. So that's
part of it. Well, what's interesting was that Black Lives Matter and Antifa were saying that they were going to protest Sturgis, so I say go for it.
Yeah, I think that's what the Sturgis people said too. They said, come on down. Come on down. So
yeah, I don't know if do you see that apocalyptic fireball headed to Earth, hazardous asteroid comes closer than the moon. Asteroid 2011 ES4 will skim by our planet on September 1st, and many preachers are convinced it's a warning sign as a much larger object prophesied by the Bible to destroy the Earth. So, you know, these the birth pangs continue, the warnings continue. I believe the scripture that God is not slow as the world counts slowness, but he's patient, not wanting for any of his to come to destruction, but all to come to repentance. And all of these are the signs that he said would come, the signs in the skies and the heavens. And I think it's, you know, some will become angry with God, and, you know, the wicked will remain wicked and the righteous will remain righteous. But there's still those that we can reach while there's still yet time. And I think that's what that's probably the most important. It is the most important thing that we have to do, because that's our purpose, is to share the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ with all that we can. And once you share that, then you need to share the truth of entering into the covenant of baptism, repentance first, dying to your old life, going into that watery grave, coming out white as snow, clothed with Christ, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, and your name entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the single. Those are the most important things that we can do in the time that we have left, I believe.
Amen. Well, let's try the phone line again. Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, brothers. I'll try this again.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, good morning, Patrick.
Excuse on my end again.
I'm sorry. Say that again, Patrick.
I said I'm having phone issues on my end again.
Oh.
It might be operator error. But, yeah, you know, just call in, listen in today. Another great program. A little overcast here. We're going to get some rain here in Minnesota, so could always use that. But, yeah, we don't need the humidity, but that's okay.
It's that time of the year, isn't it? It really is.
Yes, it is.
Summer heat.
Yeah,
summer humidity.
Yeah, we're all getting ready for fall here. You know, it's probably mid September. All of a sudden, everything's going to change. And it's going to start getting colder at night, and you know, it seems like it happens just, you know, within a blink of an eye. So.
Yeah, it does. It does. Well, Patrick, how are you seeing? You know, I mean, you're 15 minutes away from where it was a real mess down there in St. Paul, Minneapolis, and it doesn't seem like it's on the headlines every day anymore. But how are you seeing things around there?
Well, you know, crime has significantly increased in the last 6 months. You know, imagine that after they've called for defunding the police. I mean, they're not just talking about defunding the police. They want to disband them. They want to put their own policing organization over there in Minneapolis. There's been reports that, you know, of the Sharia police, we've seen the reports about in New York they have a Sharia police, and you know, they haven't actually come out and named it, but you know, if you put two and two together over there, and what they call that certain little Mogadishu over there, where Ilhan Omar's district is, you know, there's a large percentage or a large population of Muslims, Somali Muslims over there. There's been, I was reading some reports here, you know, they said that there's like 65 police officers have already quit over there in Minneapolis, and over 200 of them already, they're requesting medical leave of absence, you know, PTSD. You know, they simply can't do their jobs. You know, they're being shot at, you know, things like that. You know, how you know, you're going to shoot back, obviously. So, they're having a tough time over there. Murders have been up, You know, crime is up. You know, double crime is in Minneapolis is kind of doubled over in a, you know, past few years. I mean, there's been already been a trend for Minneapolis already, but certainly with this George Floyd incident, that it didn't help.
Wow.
Yeah, well, you look at how ludicrous things are. They pass these ordinances, and the governors in these cities and in these states that now ban the police from using tear gas or pepper spray or rubber bullets or anything. In fact, I read something the other day, if you could even believe it, the protesters were suing the federal government for putting a fence up around the courthouse so that they, because they can't burn it down.
Yeah. I think I heard something about that a while ago. I've been kind of on a media blackout. You know, just been trying to get more into the word and, you know, and kind of spend a lot of time with the family. You know, they, you know, all this, you know, it has a purpose, this, all this negative news every day, day in, day out. It's certainly
it's a better use.
Amen.
Go ahead.
I think John said it's a better use of time. It absolutely is, and that's I think that's a real good way to look at it, Patrick. It is, because you, I know people that, boy, they just get glued to that TV or whatever it is, and you know, if that's what you keep before your eyes all the time, that's what you're focusing on, that's what you're thinking about, and it's a good thing to be informed, but we can't,
sure.
Can't, you know, you can't overload on it, that's for sure. You can't overload on it.
I in our shop, you know, we have radios. We're allowed to have, you know, radios, and everybody's in the morning. They tuned into the rock and roll stations, you know, the morning drive show. I'm sure everybody lives in a metro area probably has the same thing. And I just listen to this content, and I'm like, one of these days, you know, Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to say to these radio stations, what did you do did you do anything to promote the name of Jesus Christ, but yet you day in and day out you talk about this and talk about that, and you've squandered your technology. And I try to tune it out as best I can, but I think we're in for a change. Obviously, you know, a drastic change. But I think there are going to be those out there that are there. They just don't see what's coming. I mean, they may just, you know, kill over just for, just in fright.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it a bit. I know what you're saying. I do.
Yeah.
I do. Well, awesome. Awesome. Yeah, there's like the song says, there's a great day coming. And there is a great day coming. But it's going to be a sad day for those that don't know the Lord. For those that have,
that's right,
as you said, squandered either their technology or their time. Or their,
yes,
their lives, you know, chasing that that foolhardy dollar instead of delighting in the Lord. And
that's right.
You know, I'm reminded of our pastor used to teach. He'd say, "You may love your Judeo-Christian pastor today, that's just telling you that God loves you and everything is good and there's nothing you can do and just keep on keeping on. But you know, what are you going to do at the end of it? What are you going to do at the end?" And you know, we need to be prepared, not only for the things that are happening in this life, but we need to be prepared for what happens when we die. Because you know what? We're all going to die.
Yep.
More than likely. Now, the heaven may split open, and Christ may ride in on that horse this afternoon.
That's right.
But more than likely, we're all going to die, and you just have to be ready for that. You really do.
Yeah.
You really do. Well, Patrick, thanks for the update. I appreciate it. I think it's just just an eyewitness account that, yeah, this defunding the police, what a joke it is, and that you mean that there's a huge market, a huge assembly of anti-Christ, un-American Muslims that want to put their own police force in instead of the regular police and want the government to pay for it. How about that? That's what it is. We have many enemies out there, America, and you're hearing about one of them that wants to do that very thing. So, well, Patrick, blessings to you and your family. You guys have a great weekend, brother.
You have a great weekend too, brothers.
All right. God bless. Thanks again.
God bless,
Patrick.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, in different circles, like we were with some people this week celebrating a birthday that we're not typically with, and we get to talking, and they're like, well, you know, people have been saying for, you know, as long as I can remember that the end's coming and this and that. And I said, yeah, you know what the difference is? And they're like, well, no, what's the difference? And I said, well, the difference is the morality of the people. What you don't understand is that when we passed this, you know, the federal government passed gay marriage and lit the White House up in rainbow colors, and there was people celebrating that. I often tell people when they ask me why I don't have a heart for this school that I put time, talent, and treasure in for many years and believe that God was using me for that purpose. It's because when they did that, there were a lot of these children who went to that Christian school who were celebrating that on, I don't have social media, but my daughter showed me this stuff, and it literally just took me to the ground. But anyways, so I said, the reason what's different is the morality. And I said, Ezekiel 9:4 says, the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, even through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sign and groan over the abominations which are being committed in its midst. But to the others, he said, in my hearing, go through the city after him and strike. And do not let your eye have pity, and do not spare. Utterly slay old men, young men, maidens, little children, and women. But do not touch any man in whom is the mark, and you shall start from my sanctuary. So they started with the elders who were before the temple. And he said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out. Thus they went out and struck down the people in the city. As they were striking the people, I alone was left, and I fell on my face and cried out, saying, alas, Lord God, are you destroying the whole remnant of Israel by pouring out your wrath on Jerusalem? And he said to me, the inquiry of the house of Israel and Judah is very, the iniquity, excuse me, of the house of Israel and Judah is very, very great. And the land is filled with blood, and the city is full of perversion. For they say, the Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see. But as for me, my eye will have no pity, nor will I spare. But I will bring their conduct upon their head. And you can read the rest of it, but that judgment's coming, that great judgment. And that's what's changed, I believe, is the fact that you have people that are celebrating the immorality and the sin in the land.
And they celebrate the lawlessness, the rioting, the burning the Bibles in Portland just this last week. That doesn't get a lot of media time. But that's celebrated. It is. It's that lawlessness again. And that is sin, folks. We need to use those terms and make sure that people understand what they are. Well, guys, the phones are ringing again. Let's try that. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. I heard the when that bomb went off in Lebanon, I heard the expression sodium nitrate. I thought back 25 years ago to Oklahoma City bombing. So I guess we're to believe that a another fertilizer bomb destroyed half of Beirut. But that's not what I called about. That TVA thing you're talking about, I listened to, it was almost an hour of Donald Trump sitting there with all of these people who are being riffed and replaced by consulting companies, you know, with overseas programmers, most of them Indian.
Right.
They're all programmers and, you know, software engineers and things like that. And that's what makes that whole TVA work, including the security and everything else. You know, I mean, that's one of the kind of a, you might think of it as a soft underbelly for the structure of this country. And what they were describing was basically being replaced by these companies that would bring in these H-1B workers. And this has been going on. I was a programmer. This has been going on since the 80s, you know. And I mean, it's a wonder there's any jobs left to replace. And they're replacing all these people, you know, Americans who, you know, would have some loyalty to this country, who know what they were doing, who've been doing this for decades. And they're going to train this. They're going to train some Indian who came over here and has been doing and at the job for 3 months, and I went through a whole hour of this thing, you know. And I mean, it was on Fox News, and it was on YouTube, and there was a commercial interruption every 2 minutes, but I listened to it because, you know, I had a personal interest in it. But they've been doing this for years. And basically it's the Indians and a few Chinese and Bangladeshis and things like that who have replaced all of our engineering, our programmers and everything else. And they've got the Mexicans who've replaced all of what they call the blue collar jobs, including there's one county in Washington State right now that's got these coronavirus cases are spiking like crazy because they brought in a couple hundred, you know, migrant workers to pick crops. And all of a sudden, you know, they're all testing positive for this thing, bringing it in from Mexico or wherever. And this has been going on for ages. And now we're starting to reap what we sowed or what we allowed to be sown.
Absolutely, Bill.
Did you see after Trump fired those executives, though, how the TVA groveled and said, we misthought this, and, you know, we've turned back and we've scrapped that plan. And so, you know, I thought it was significant the fact that this is the first president that I know of that actually stood up against these things and basically said, if you're going to jeopardize American jobs, then I got two words for you, you're fired. And that's exactly what he did. And if you read the statement from the TVA, it's they basically fell upon their knees and asked for forgiveness.
Yeah, because they don't want to get fired. And, you know, like you said, John, this has been going on. This has been going on since the 80s, if not before, that, you know, this replacing the American worker. And so you can't expect one president to come in and to just clean house on that, but he's sure trying. And I think this is a good point. Bill, thanks for your call. We're going to try to get one more caller in while we've got time this morning, brother. But thanks, and you have a blessed day. Well, guys, phone lines, we'll try one more call here this morning. Good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee.
Good morning, Richard. This is Tom from New Jersey calling in.
Hey, good morning, Tom.
I'd like to know if you guys have any opinion about this Dr. Stella Emanuel, who talked about the HCQ and also about the demons and the aliens and all this kind of stuff. Are you familiar with who I'm talking about?
I have heard. I've seen a little bit of it. I know that I have gotten some emails on that, and but the mainstream media, the medical establishment. You know, they're certainly not going to put any validity toward that. I mean, that's what I saw that they were trying to, that they were using to discredit her. Oh, she even believes in demons. And, you know, what is she, some witchcraft doctor? You know,
no,
I heard that comment.
No, she's not. She's actually into deliverance.
I understand that. I understand that.
I know. But it's funny to see this out in the mainstream all of a sudden, these words, you know.
That's right.
Demons and aliens and deliverance. It's like, whoa. Let's get this out there. Maybe people will wake up to this reality, because this country is demon-possessed. There's no question about it. They don't know it, I don't think. But if it gets woken up a little bit, maybe, oh, wait, we need a deliverance. I mean, baptism is wonderful, and people are doing a little bit of that, too, in Huntington Beach. But deliverance and just the knowledge of the fact that, you know, do we have demons, and we have to get them out of here, literal and figurative.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great point, Tom. Thanks. Thanks. God bless, brother. Interesting times, no doubt about it. No doubt. And, you know, overseas, like was mentioned, the explosion in Beirut, the day after that, they had a huge market burned down in Dubai. So overseas, things are ripping. China is still experiencing massive flooding. The largest dam in the world, the Three Gorges Dam on the Yangtze River, is, you know, depending on what reports you read, is in danger of being breached. That would be a massive, massive disaster there in China. And, you know, the flooding they have there only covers the equivalent of the size of the states of New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey combined. 50 million people affected. So lots going on. There is a lot going on.
Yeah, Lord willing, tomorrow the message is going to be based with regards to Psalm 110, rule in the midst of your enemies. And that's just a little teaser in how that ties into the Melchizedek priesthood and the significance of the Melchizedek priesthood in the times that we're living in. So hopefully you can join us for that.
Amen. Amen. And Paul, I like how you mentioned that, how the, it was mentioned earlier, the, it seems like the people are getting, trying to get back to the land a little bit, getting back to planting and putting gardens in and things like that, and all the seed places and the nurseries and whatnot are doing a booming business. We've seen that out here. You know, you drive through different parts of town and you see, even if it's just a little raised bed with a cover on it or a garden that, hey, I've never noticed a garden there before. Really, really noticing that. And I think that's a positive. I think it is part of the people waking up.
Well, that's the Spirit of God moving, because these people, they will come back to the roots at some point in time. I was at the coffee shop the other morning. This guy said, right out of the blue, he says, I think the devil's running this country, you know. And this guy, I don't know what he knows, but he's a mainline church person, but he is kind of radical. But that's what he said. He says, I think the devil's running this country.
Wow.
He's not far off. The God of this world is right now, that's for sure.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
But again, the things that were done in dark are being exposed, just like that. Just that, you know, hey, Joe the plumber kind of a thing, or Bill the farmer, or whoever it is. People are seeing that, you know, the way things are going, whether it's the riots, whether it's the, you know, this pushing and promoting of pedophilia that we're seeing in places today, you know, a furthering of this just ungodly, immoral agenda. People are waking up to it. I think this last mess with the supply chain logistics, you know, where they didn't have toilet paper, they didn't have paper towels and paper plates and these things that that all of a sudden were not available. Disinfectant. Oh, you got to have that. That it was meant to cause turmoil and to cause stress and all that, but you know, maybe an unintended consequence is that it has woken some people up. it's woke some people up to the as was said earlier, the fallacy of Babylon and how Babylon is dying. Good stuff.
Yeah. Better enlightened for the church. Got 4 minutes.
Yeah, go ahead, Paul. We got just a minute.
They were talking about Mexicans earlier. I'll tell you what, you take the Mexicans out of this country, your store shelves will be empty overnight because that's who's doing all the work. Our boys and girls have been sent to college to get an education that don't mean nothing except destroy their work ethic. You know, we got people here that are getting $900 a week to do nothing. They won't. There's jobs everywhere. Don't give me this crap that there ain't jobs because they're everywhere. People's begging for help.
That's right.
And nobody will work in the white race.
Yep.
Absolutely.
You know, Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. And now, you know, look at them throwing money at us to buy stuff that ain't even going to be there.
Amen.
But there are, I'll tell you what, Mexicans still have a work ethic overall. You give them a little welfare, it ruins them real quick, though.
Yep.
Amen. Well, folks, we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org, the live stream. We'll get that fired up at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time Sunday morning. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 out there on the West Coast. And we'll have a review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit message. John, looking forward to your live message on Psalms 110, I think you said. So looking forward to that. And so, Remnant, we invite you to join us. Take a little time out of your, I know it's a busy week, it's a hectic week, but take some time. We'll have communion and give us an opportunity to take a moment in our busy week and remember why we're here. Remember what our Lord and Savior did for us. Well, men, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you in church tomorrow.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel. Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.